Well, in August 2015, you resigned your Senate seat.
Yes.
Actually, you resigned your Senate seat December 31st, 2015.
Originally, yes.
And you were then under investigation by the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation.
Right.
An accusation of embezzlement from the Tulsa Better Business Community. So how did you first discover that you were under investigation?
You know, there were some officers who came by the office and to talk, and it became abundantly clear why they were there. And I think they were very shocked at how transparent I was. I mean, I was, you know, they were giving me every opportunity to deflect it and blame somebody else. I didn't do that. It wasn't just blatantly direct questions on a lot of stuff, but they knew what I was telling them and I knew what they were telling me. And it was kind of like, okay, this is it. And then knowing that you were under investigation, and I literally told no one. I knew there were people who knew, obviously through the Better Business Bureau, obviously OSBI knew, but I didn't say a word to anyone for a long time. People are like, oh my God, prison must have been horrible. The months leading up to all of this after the investigation were the most horrible time. It's kind of like what I say about gambling. Winning's the hard part. Walking away winning is the easy part. Walking away is the hard part. Prison was the easy part. It was everything that transpired before then. Because in an instant, your world is crumbling. You realize what's happening. Your brain is going, you know, my life is over. I'm going to be an embarrassment to my family. I'm going to be, oh my God, my grandson. All those kinds of things are going on. And I ended up getting a little spiral notebook. And my job every day was to figure out how to kill myself and make it look like an accident, so my life insurance would pay off for my son and my grandson. I carried that book with me. I would be in the presiding officer, meaning I would be the guy with the gavel during the Senate, and I would have my hand on that little spiral book next to me with the gavel in the other hand, because I had to keep my hand on that book because I couldn't let anyone see it. I couldn't let anyone find it. I had to know where it was. And I would go home at night and I would Google and I would look at different ways of doing different things. I finally went to a man by the name of Jonathan Nichols, who's no longer with us. And Jonathan was the chief of staff for the pro tem. And we were on the floor and I walked over and I said, can I see you in your office? And I think he knew from the look on my face that there was a problem. And it was the best decision I made, because finally I verbalized it out loud. And he picked up the phone. He called somebody else who we all know, who said, I've got a senator in trouble. He said, come to my office now. We got in the car. He put me in his car. I was at that point, I had just was just in a shocked daze. And they took me to an attorney. I had never even talked to an attorney at that point. And started that, which gave me a sense of relief. But it was this thing of like, you know, I've got to kill myself before this becomes public, because if I kill myself after it's public, then everyone's going to know I committed suicide. So I've got to, you know, so I had this deadline I was working under. The session was over shortly thereafter, and I went home. It was a couple of days later. It was June. I believe it was June the 1st. The story broke, and my world collapsed in about 15 seconds. It was breaking news on people's phones. I was trying to get them. You know, I had had a family meeting with my sisters, my parents, my son, and said, "Here's what's coming." The proper word here is it was the most pissed off I'd ever been in my entire life. I was so angry, not because of what happened, but because I was still alive.
All right. Why didn't you commit suicide?
I couldn't. This is a really horrible phrase to use, because a gun was never involved, because I just couldn't pull the trigger. I mean, there was a couple of times I was close. I talked to somebody else who had gone through not an exact experience, but something similar. And I said, I would just get in my car and I would drive. I said, I was just driving, hoping a semi would hit me. I was hoping, and there was, I put, I put 4,000 miles on my car in 2 weeks and never left the state. I would drive from the northeast corner past Oklahoma and then back past Oklahoma and just keep driving that all day long, hoping for a car accident, hoping for something to happen.
You could have swerved in front of a big semi.
I imagined it every single time. And I just couldn't do it. And that turns into, why are you such a coward? Why can't you? Because, I mean, and again, whether or not you're a person of faith or not, you know, whether or not you believe in the darkness or the versus light or whatever it may be, is that, this is going to be a small sermonette for 1 second. You know, the Bible says that Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's done it since the beginning of time through deception. He convinces you of things that are not true. And so therefore, you God, he may never convince you that God does not exist, but he can convince you that you're not worthy. And when you're not worthy, you don't see anything that can possibly be good for you. And that's where I was. I was in this dark hole. And I said, I always tell everybody, it's like I was falling through in a dark black abyss, head over heels, and could never hit the bottom.
Well, when it became known, and in the Tulsa World, it says State Senator Rick Brantley embezzled more than $1 million during his 15 years as an executive with the Better Business Bureau, the organization alleged in a lawsuit. They say you set up corporate entities to receive payments for phony credit accounts and other alleged business expenses. It also alleges that you funneled money from his state campaign fund to a phony vendor. You were pretty creative, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm always hesitant about this, and it's not that I don't want to own it. I've always had to tell people in interviews, it's like, I do not want to teach people how to do this. You know, it's a very fine line to walk. I will just say that I was able to make it work. But it was also one of those things that you also believe the whole time. You never believe you're getting by with it. You always know you're going to get caught. You know it. But the overwhelming part of the addiction makes you say, well, I don't care. If I go down, I go down, but I got to keep doing this.
They also alleged that you use the embezzled funds to pay your mortgage, pay a pool cleaner, personal credit card invoices, and to support a hidden gambling habit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I mean, it was just... you know, and I always feel like I'm defending, and I don't want to be that way or being defensive. But, you know, I just remember I was in rehab with a woman who had done basically the same thing that I had done. But the funny thing was, is that she had kept a ledger and left it by her computer. And when she went on vacation, somebody found it. You always believe you're going to get caught.